Learn how you can save time and tuition dollars with Wilmington University's new Dual Credit Advantage. Go to wilmu.edu/dual credit.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. The Sixers get roughed up in South Beach, a 35-point loss. Welcome to the Sixers Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works. Ben Berry, Danny Pommel's here with you. It was ugly from the start, bro. It looked sloppy from the start. They played sloppy, and it just carried over throughout the game. A 35-point loss in game five is just, wow. That is not what I expected. Was that anywhere close to what you thought would happen?
It's not close to what I thought would happen. I did an interview on SiriusXM earlier today on like their daily morning show or whatever. I want to say whatever. Sounds like I'm belittling it. But I was asked like what I thought would come out of the game. I said I would be shocked that if Eric Spoelstra let his team come out and play as bad as they did up here in Philly. And I think it's more than home court advantage. The Sixers came out and just looked lethargic. I know that the TNT crew got some heat for what they said about Embiid, and we'll get to that later. But Embiid's injured. The rest of the team just looked slow. They didn't look like they had energy. And if you go on, if you just, whether your friends on Facebook or you get on Twitter, Sixers fans around the country or people that watch basketball would agree with that. There was no fight out there, and that's something the fans of Philadelphia will not stand for.
Man, oh, man, you know, you can point the blame at a lot of places, but we don't want to play the blame game. We really just want to kind of tell it how it is. And it just they did not have it. And we've seen games where they didn't have it. And in those games, all of their shortcomings are just exacerbated. The bad transition defense, the lack of scoring from the bench, the inconsistency with the shooting and the perimeter defense and the rebounding and on and on and on and on. There were no bright spots in this game. There was nothing to point to try to, you know, think optimistically about game six other than the fact that it is at home. But this is going to be one of those games in game six where the Sixers faithful are going to have to show up and show out to give whatever edge that they can provide. Now, maybe – you know, the Sixers do wilt and fall short in game six, but the Sixers faithful have to be there to show up and put their contribution into the center of the table and try to help this team, you know, get to a game seven so they can try to redeem themselves in Miami, because I could see why the fans didn't show up in Miami tonight. I can see why DJ Khaled was running up and down the sidelines, giving Eric Spoelstra back rubs and whatnot, because they got smoked, bro. They got smoked. It was embarrassing. It was on national TV. And here we are trying to recant and rehash, you know, and pull the crumbs from this cake of what's left for the Sixers team to kind of pull together. So they're going to have to dig into some pride. Hopefully their season does not end in front of their home crowd once again. Hopefully it doesn't even end in a game seven in the second round once again, but is not much to draw upon positively from this game. But hopefully this game six is something the Sixers will show some intestinal fortitude toward, and game seven will be where all this series is decided.
Hey, yo, Danny. Yo, I'm just heat it. You laughing like,
well, you hit me with the AO. I know what's next.
Man, Sixers fans, listeners, the Sixers scored 40 points in the second half. The Heat scored 39 in the fourth quarter. I believe the Heat started that fourth quarter run with 12-0. James Harden only took 13 shots, finished the game with 14 points. Miami Heat's Gabe Vincent finished the game with 15 points. That's unacceptable. Most of the NBA world didn't know who Gabe Vincent was until last week, and he had more points than James Harden. That's unacceptable. Sixers need to come back home Thursday, wash this bad taste of a game out of their mouth, hustle, play hard to force a game seven, because they made the big trade for Harden. New coach came in a couple years ago, Doc Rivers, and Embiid's played some of the best basketball of his life. Go home in the second round. It's just, it's not acceptable. I don't think the fans are going to stand for it.
You know what? Man, it's just one of those games where you're looking at the Sixers play and you don't recognize anything that's happening out there. And it's a thing, you know, okay, yeah, James Harden, as you just mentioned, had a horrible game, outscored by Gabe Vincent. Max Strus was hot to start the game. But you had so much optimism and promise coming into game five after what Harden showed you here in South Philly in game four. So, yeah, okay, maybe he won't go for 16 in the fourth and 31 points, but there's a certain, like, residual embarrassment that happens from being a fan in situations like this. And also, in some ways, you know, being, you know, reporters or analysts or contributors, people who cover the team and talk about the team, you know, people are asking, you know, you to predict, oh, how will they play in game five? Oh, you think they can get the win? What do you think will happen? What's your prediction for the series? And I'm saying, you know, we're saying stuff like Sixers and six, and oh man, so much momentum. They're carrying down to South Beach, and the team who wins game four might win the series and all this other stuff. And then they come out and play like that. It's like, well, what are we even, are we being fooled? Are we being manipulated? Why would they come out and have a clunker like this? And, you know, lack of focus or just poor shooting, whatever you want to tie it to. It's just even weird to even try to wrap your head around, particularly after all that's happened with this team, all the stuff that they've been through with Ben Simmons, all the stuff with trying to incorporate Harden and the growing pains and bumps that's endured with Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris stuff. It's like, how do you go into the offseason or come into, let's just forget the offseason, but come into a game six like that and play like that? It wasn't for a lack of want to. I feel like they wanted to play well and they wanted to win and they wanted to be, but they just didn't make the plays or do the things that were required of that. So it's like a gap between mentally what you want to accomplish and physically actually doing it. It's like when I asked my son to clean his room and he says, oh, I'm going to get to it, but it never actually cleans it. It's like, well, you can say it all you want, but until you actually go out there and do it.
I'm sure when he says, I'll get to it, you don't just accept that and that's the end of the conversation. I'm sure you're not sliding with that response. But
well, it depends on how many times I ask him. The first time, he's like, I'll get to it. Okay, the first time. Then the second or third, fourth time, it's like, well, hold up. Shame, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Showing here on the Sixers Talk podcast, parenting has gotten soft. I've never told my mom when I was a kid, I'll get to it. But I think what you pointed to, and you said having the want to, they didn't make plays. I think this is when it comes to having an adult in the room, like on the roster, not a coach, but on the sideline.
You channeling your inner Brett Brown? You got your inner Brett Brown coming?
So I think of, like, I know the Heat have multiple veterans. Kyle Lowry's won a championship. Jimmy Butler's been around the league and driven people nuts, used to be here. But they have guys that want to. Biggest one, Udonis Haslem. He's the adult in the room. He sets the tone. You see when someone steps out of line, he's talking to Spo, he stands up and threatens to lay people out. The Sixers don't really have anyone in the locker room that's going to do that, in my opinion. I know Danny Green has won three championships, but if what people consider,
he's not challenging anybody.
Yeah, he's not challenging anybody. Tobias Harris tries to set the tone and example, but when guys are out there making terrible, just lazy passes, not getting back on defense, who's on that roster? Who's going to get in someone's face like, yo, you need to pick it up. You suck. You're stinking it up. You need to pick it up. I don't think the Sixers have someone like that on the roster.
They don't. And, you know, so many people laugh at or make fun of that whole heat culture thing. And, you know, maybe it's not as grandiose as people make it out to be, but there is some expectation. The Sixers also have an expectation, but just don't have anything to show for it at this point, because, you know, you could, like we just talked about, you can expect to be great or do well, but until you actually do it, it's something different. So, and it's weird because you mentioned Kyle Lowry, like he didn't even play, but the Sixers would have had a better chance considering his game and the way he shoots than having Max Strus out there or, you know, Gabe Vincent. Cause you know, Kyle Lowry has the hamstring issue, but even without the hamstring issue, he's still not as quick or as good a shooter as those guys. Speaking of good shooters, just want to mention, you know, we mentioned Brett Brown, his son Sam Brown committed to Penn. So shout out to Brett and his son and for them continuing to be a part of the community and whatnot. And well, some good vibes earlier this week, but no good vibes with the Sixers team right now. I wish I could hear the post game right now. We're taping this podcast right after instant reaction type of thing, right after the game's completed. And some explanation was what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's going to fall on their sword and take responsibility for what happened here tonight. But I don't know, man. I'm at a loss for words. I'm grasping at straws trying to figure out what I just saw and why it happened and how they can get better in game six. Because I know it will be a different game in game six. But when Embiid went down with that smack in the face, I thought it was a wrap, bro. I thought it was a wrap. I thought he wasn't coming back to the game. Credit to him for coming back in there. Still wasn't quite himself. You saw him wincing and favoring the eye and touching it and things like that.
But so in real time, did you think that was a smack in the face?
I knew it was some contact, and I, you know, just based on how the players reacted, I knew Embiid had gotten hit. I was upset that the refs had missed it, but my expectations for the referees are rather low. So, you know, 2 7-foot dudes like me or you, right? We're not short, but if 2 7-foot dudes were walked in or we were standing next to them, we would be looking up. So not let alone they're jumping and their arms are extended and you're trying to look up there and in real time figure out what just happened and who hit who and things like that. So my expectations, particularly in a situation like that, for the referees are low. But I thought he did. They didn't call it, though, so I was ready to move on because, you know, they missed calls. But
so I didn't think it was a missed call. At first, I thought Embiid got hit in the face. But when I saw the replay, he hit the ball. The ball hit Embiid in the face.
Yeah, that's
so
that's
like
not,
I would
not a foul.
You said, well, yeah, it's not a foul. It's like a so, foul, yeah. I wasn't upset, and like I know a lot, I saw on Twitter and people were upset and thought it was ridiculous. I was like, no, that was actually a good call. In the moment, at first, I was like, oh, they missed a big call. When we got to the replay, it was like, no, ball hit Embiid's face. I understand Doc getting the technical there to rile the team up to show he had his guys back. But I think that what might have been the beginning of the end. I know Embiid came out in the third quarter hot, made a couple of plays, but it went downhill. And I know you asked what can the Sixers do to not let this repeat Thursday night in game five. We talked about it, hustle plays. The Sixers got rebounds.
Second fan points. Yeah, they were absolutely.
They got 46 to 36. They got out-rebounded. Miami shot awful from beyond the arc in the two games in Philly, around 21%, 21.5. Game five in Miami, they shot 39.4%. Like, I think the Sixers need to go back to that swarming defense, make hustle plays, and – if they force a game seven, it's not looking good. There's two teams undefeated at home in the playoffs right now. Golden State is one, and you probably already guessed the other team is Miami.
Yeah, man. And obviously the Heat finally find their shooting stroke, which was the thing that was a big X factor when it came to how this series has been played out, because, you know, so many games have been determined by, you know, their poor shooting, and they found their shooting stroke and, in the end, end up 13 for 33 from 3-point line, which is only just under 40%, but that's good enough to beat the Sixers, obviously, and get the edge against them. And it's weird because you think about how this game played out and what happened, and Joel gets hit, and he needs some help, man. He needs some help. And I'm not just saying that because he only takes 12 shots and Tobias Harris takes 14. I'm saying he needs some help because you're tempting fate trying to get this giant of a man from game one all the way to the NBA championship, you know, unscathed, playing, you know, big minutes. And obviously he's dealing with the torn ligament in his hand. He has the orbital fracture in his right eye. He's wearing a mask. He's getting double teamed. Like he needs some help in order to mitigate all of the stress and attention that he's garnering from trying to carry this team to the championship. So, you know, when you think about big men of the past, like Shaq and David Robinson and Tim Duncan and, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, whoever you want to name, they're not playing the same type of basketball that you're needing Joel Embiid to play. All of those guys I named would dominate on both ends, offense and defense, but Joel is extending his game to the 3-point line. And he's also the top rebounder on the team and, you know, one of the better assist guys on the squad. And you're kind of expecting and needing more from him. And minute wise, obviously, you need a lot from him. You're needing more from him than he can give at the moment because of the injuries. But it's just like I said, that you're tempting fate in order to try to get all of that out of him and take the team to the title at the same time. So, you know, we're going to, like I said, I'll table all the off-season discussion and things like that, but I'm just a little, you know, overwhelmed by the idea that the Sixers could get all that they needed from Embiid and get to the championship, you know, like the team is currently constructed. So I think, you know, when I throw it back to you, I'm thinking like, so Ben, do you feel like this is a team that if Joel Embiid is who he is now, and if he's healthy, it's a different story, but do you see what I'm saying? Like with the need and help in order to, you know, get this team over the hump into the next level?
Well, it goes when you said overwhelming, I thought you was going to go disappointed with the next three guys who you expect to have a big game from: James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, and Tobias Harris. And they've all had their shining moments in the playoffs. They've all played very well at times. They've all played really bad. I can't think of too many times where all three played this poorly this postseason so far. And I think this would go back to my earlier point where about having an adult in the locker room, someone that looks someone else in the eyes and say, yo, pick it up. Because Tobias Harris, 5 of 14, Maxey, 2 of 10, James Harden, 5 of 13. Like, your MVP, the guy that you think should have won the MVP award, is struggling. He didn't play well tonight, but he also has a concussion and a broken orbital bone.
Right, concussion. Right,
yeah, exactly. He has the ligament in the thumb. And so he's doing everything he can to be out there on the court. If I'm him, I'm looking around like, yo, I'm shortening my career by being out here, and you guys can't give a little more effort, be a little more aggressive, take some of the burden off of my shoulders? If I'm Embiid, I'm looking around, I'm highly annoyed, if not flat out pissed at my teammates for not stepping it up a little, just a little bit.
Even when you look at it, even if they do step up, you know, on their side, they have Harden, Embiid, Maxey, and Harris. Harris has been probably their most steady player of this series specifically, maybe even the postseason. Harden isn't what he used to be. Maxey is a second-year player. You know what I'm saying? So, and then on the flip side, you got PJ Tucker, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Victor Oladipo, all guys who, you know, Oladipo, I mentioned him last because he's definitely far from what he used to be in his Indiana days, but he's still super reliable off the bench. But Hero, Adebayo, and Butler, and PJ Tucker have been better than the Sixers, you know, top four players. And Embiid definitely has made Adebayo look like a child particularly in games 3 and 4 when he came back, compared to how Adebayo was barbecuing DeAndre Jordan and Paul Reed. But it's just that when you look at what the Heat bring to the table, you can go to other teams in the postseason. Let's just stay in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks and their firepower, the Celtics and their depth and firepower and versatility. And, you know, it just the Sixers maybe have less interchangeable parts than all of those teams. And it really shows in games like this because, you know, the intensity and, like you said, the adult in the room stuff, it just you see their warts, you know, so easily. And particularly when the shooting isn't, the shots aren't falling, and they were clanging jumpers, you know, to start the game, and it just carried out throughout the contest.
Something you said was the wart show, and B covers so many of those warts, so many of the Sixers.
All right, and he just can't do it.
And he can't do it all the time. Like, right, the competition is higher than it is. It's tougher than it is in the regular season. Every team, no team is coming off a back-to-back. You're playing the same team repeatedly for at least 4 games. So they're sitting down, they're watching game tape to figure out what they're going to do different. And you can't expect Joel Embiid to make up for someone being a poor shooter all the time by scoring more, or someone being slow on defense all the time. So all the Sixers, the lack of depth, the lack of two-way players are showing right now. And speaking of two-way players, because you named the Bucks, the Heat, and the Celtics, the other 3 teams left in the Eastern Conference, they all have two-way wing players. And I think in today's game, that's incredibly important. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. You could call Giannis a big or a wing, but the Bucks have Giannis. They have Chris Middleton. Jrue Holiday plays on the wing sometime. The Heat, we're playing them now. You see they have Jimmy Butler, Victor Oladipo. Two-way wings is so important, and the Sixers really struggle in that area.
Bro, that's a good observation. I had a talk with my dad, not necessarily wings, but he was so upset about how well Al Horford was playing for the Celtics and not really how well he was playing for them. Just the fact that
he didn't do that for us.
Right. This dude has been everywhere and played great except here. I'm like, you know, Dad, I feel you on that. I feel like the reason why that happened was more, you know, Ben Simmons not being as like, you can't have Simmons, Embiid and Horford on the floor and be as, you know, interchangeable offensively as you want. But whatever the case, I was like, Dad, I'm not going to lament losing Al Horford. I will lament losing Jimmy Butler, but I'm not like staying awake at night because Al Horford is playing well for the Celtics. But it just goes to show, I don't know if culture thing or fit or however you want to label it. The Sixers have just gotten the short end of the stick over these, you know, several seasons, you know what I'm saying? And last year it was Ben Simmons and his deficiencies. And, that came to a head. You know, this year it's the injuries with Joel Embiid, and that has driven them to a place where they can't really bounce back with him not being 100%. So, and we can go to years past and, you know, talk about the Celtics and the bubble and Simmons and his, not being available and, the whole daring him to shoot against the Celtics and that not working in the playoffs. But it's tough being a Sixers fan right now. I think, you know, if you're any type of fan, you're going to try to show up for your team on Thursday and give them whatever edge you can provide in South Philly for Game 6. But it will be a tough way to go out to see them lose on this home floor. So it's like it's a must win for the series, but it's a must win for morale, for the relationship between the fans and the players and the fans and the team. It's a must win. They need to come here on Thursday and be every bit of excellent in front of the home fans.
They got to be excellent because they can't let the season end on such a sour note. That's why.
Awful offseason.
I was also trying to look up the Phillies' record because last time I checked, they weren't doing too well.
They won last night, though. That's all we need to worry about.
Okay, yes. Because I was going to say, between that, the Sixers being bounced and the Phillies are in a rut.
The Flyers ended up with the pick in the draft. They didn't even get the number one pick.
So, I mean, what? NFL schedule release
Thursday. Schedule release.
It'll be a new. We'll have a new Sixers Talk podcast Thursday night, as well as the Eagle Eye after the schedule is released. They got to win, man, because I think I don't know how much fans can like. There's some fans that won't. They won't. They'll support the team no matter what. Fireman Ed, the Jets fan, or those Saints and Browns fans that show up with the paper bags over their head. But between, and you could argue whether some of this is the right move, but drafting Andre Iguodala, naming him AI 2.0, trading Allen Iverson, bringing in Andrew Bynum, blowing the whole thing up, for lack of a better term, drafting Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, and Joel Embiid back-to-back-to-back. The Michael Carter-Williams year-and-a-half project. Markelle Fultz. Ben Simmons. And the people will debate this to the cows come home about not drafting Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Just the drafting Mikal Bridges and trading him, and just so many things. Then the Ben Simmons not dunking.
You're hurting my heart right now. What is your point? Because I'm having pain.
My point is front office, like, people in charge need to figure something out, because for fans to support this team through the 4 years of losing and still and not make it past the second round again, like, that's asking for a lot. And some people believe in brand loyalty when it comes to their professional sports, but people only put up with losing for so long.
Yeah. I blame it more on the injuries to Embiid than anything. If there's no mask and he's feeling 100%, he probably could dominate against this Heat team, because they still look beatable to me. They still look like a team that can be beat, but they smell blood in the water. And the Sixers are facing elimination on Thursday, do or die. And for more reasons than just this series, because who knows what might happen as far as players being, you know, repositioned and shuffled around, coaching opportunities that might pop up or whatever. But they need to figure some stuff out and make some decisions on who they are and what they stand for coming into this game Thursday, and show up and play like it.
That was harsh. For who they are and what they stand for.
Come on, bro. Like, man, this is imagine going through the whole offseason, they lose game six. Who wants to come on here and do a pod and talk more about them falling short? Like, no one wants to do that. Come on, bro. If they lose in the conference finals,
you're not going to want to do it either.
Nah, but that's different, bro. They have not been past the second round in over 20 years. Or 20 years. It's been 20 years. Not over, but 20 years.
Long time.
Iverson.
I was in middle school.
Bro. I had hair. Put that out there. I had hair. The last time they were out. That's it for the pod, bro. I'm about to lose my.
Danny's done. Check us out wherever you get your podcast from. We on YouTube. Danny, you want
to close this out? Nah, you got it, bro. Go ahead, finish it.
Thanks for listening to Sixers Talk Pod, presented to you by Wilmington University. Wilmu Works. He's Danny Pommels. I'm Ben Berry. Follow us on Twitter, wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for all the viewers on YouTube.
I had hair the last time they went past the second round.
We'll catch you. Peace.